Pastor Rajan is preaching upstairs in bilingual, and he has asked me to preach this message that I preached last week in the Fire Altar Conference. How many of you were in that conference? Wave your hand at me. Okay, probably one quarter of you were in there. So if you are here last week, I believe there will be a new insight and a new revelation for all those that were here. And for those that weren't here, you are in for a treat. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you're in for a treat. You're definitely in for a treat, because I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, all right, there is freedom, there is liberty, and there is brand new insights and revelation. There is insights and revelation in the kingdom of God for every son and daughter, for every single one of us to grasp. Amen? So therefore, I believe today, this morning, that you're sitting here, it's not by accident. It is not because it's your duty as a believer to be in the house of God on a Sunday morning. No, but I believe that the Lord wanted to speak to you, and the Lord wants to minister to you, and He has a word for every single one of you. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. The marking of the Holy Spirit is getting very much more evident, especially in these days. You know, I'm not quite sure how many of you know, but a week before this, I was really down with influenza, and I was just telling the Lord, Lord, you know, is this your time to take me away? You know, influenza is so much worse than COVID. I was like, God, why, Lord? But in the time of my recovering and resting, you know, I really, really felt that as we are living in the last days, as we are living in the last age with so many things that's happening around us, you know, with the war happening in Russia and Ukraine, you know, with the news of the ex-president of Japan being assassinated, with so many chaos that's happening around the world, as real as the power of darkness is, can I let you know something? So is the power of God. So is the power of God in our lives. You know, as much as we are focusing on the news, in the social media, in Facebook, and on your TV, but can we look at the Word of God, and can we focus on what the Lord is saying to His bride, is saying to His church, and believing His promises that God has a good plan, and His plan is to prosper us and to not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future in the last days. That is for every single one of us. Whether you like it or whether you don't like it, if you're sitting here, that promise is for you. Whether you have already experienced it or not, let me tell you something. That promise is for you, because our God is an unconditional God. So no matter what you're going through, no matter you feel worthy enough or holy enough to be in the presence of God, to experience the greatness and the promises of God, it doesn't matter, because His faithfulness is not dependent on any condition or situation. His faithfulness is solely dependent on Him. How many of you like that? You know, many times we feel like as men, we fail sometimes. And sometimes, you know, we go into that mode like, oh, God is not going to bless me, like, you know, because I didn't pray or I didn't read the Word of God, or I feel not holy or qualified enough. But many times when we encourage and remind ourselves that the goodness of the Lord is not dependent on us, but is solely dependent on Him, it brings us out from our trials and our challenges, and gives us a whole new perspective of our situation. It gives us a whole new perspective of how we view things. It gives us a whole new perspective on how we see God. I really strongly believe this, church. As we are living in the last days, there is a greater outpouring and the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit upon His people. I really believe it. You know, when I was praying last week, I don't even know how I prayed, but I prayed, I was like, God, I can't take it, you know, with that, you know, that struggle of having fever and this, you know, I can't rest properly. But I was just like telling God, you know, we need more of You. We need more of You in church. We need more of You in our lives. We need more of You in our city, in our nation. And as I was praying, I really felt in my spirit, there is a greater manifestation of the presence and the power of the Lord that is upon His people and upon His church. You know, with so many things happening around us, I believe that God is pulling us closer, pulling us towards His presence. Whether you realize it or not, whether you are you tapping in that heavenly realm and that spiritual realm or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is how committed and how consistent are you in your walk with God. Because when you are aware and committed and consistent in your prayer life, in your walk with God, you become so much more sensitive in the moving, in the leading, and in the guiding of the Lord. Come on, children of God, say amen. Are you here this morning? Is the aircon too cold that it makes you feel like sleeping? Yes, maybe some of them at the back can reduce the aircon a little bit. I know that this morning, you know, just now during worship, we can just sleep in the presence of the Lord. You know, some of you struggling in sleep, you know, you can sleep in the presence of the Lord. Don't feel guilty, you know. I'm not saying sleep in church, but I'm saying when you feel that you need to rest, this is what the Word of God says. Beloved, I will give you rest. All right? So resting is not something bad, okay? It's a good thing. But don't fall asleep when I'm preaching. Okay? Come on. There is an urgency for us to preach the gospel. We are a fire church, right? We're church on fire, church without walls, church without borders. We are a church that goes out to preach the gospel, talk about Jesus, and, you know, share the good news. I believe that it is always the time to preach the gospel. There is an urgency to preach the gospel, but at the same time, church, there is also an urgency to come back to the place of prayer. Turn to your neighbor and say, come back to the place of prayer. Then there is an urgency to pray. This is why in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38. Can we have it on the screen? Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38. He says, then he said to his people, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. There are already harvests. The harvest is already ready. But the laborers are few. Who are the laborers? We are the laborers. Not the full-time workers, not the pastors, not the leaders. But every single one of us who calls upon his name are laborers in the field. And he says, pray to the Lord of harvest. I really believe not every believer is called to be a pastor. Not every believer is called to be a preacher, an evangelist, or a teacher, or an apostle, or a prophet. But every believer is called to be a prayer warrior. Every believer is called to prayer. Everybody say, called to prayer. If I can entitle my message this morning, and you can give me your attention for the next few minutes, I'd like to entitle this message, The Call to Prayer. The Call to Prayer. Every believer is called to prayer. The fundamentals of prayer is actually very simple. You know, it's so simple. The fundamentals is so simple. But somehow, you know, we can be a believer for more than 20 years, but somehow we still get it wrong. You know, last week, Pastor Sebastian preached on prayer as well, and he mentioned the definition of prayer. You know, he mentioned that prayer is earthly permission for heavenly intervention. How many of you still remember that? He preached it on Sunday. Earthly permission for heavenly intervention. And I find it so powerful and so true. But at the same manner, you know, there is a simpler definition. And the definition of prayer is simply to talk with God. Everybody say, talk with God. Spend time with God. Talk with God. Many a times we think we know how to talk with God, but somehow we still do it wrongly. How do I know that? Because many of us, we don't talk with God, we talk to God. How many of you know that there is actually two big difference? It's a big difference between talking with God and talking to God. When you talk to God, it's actually a one-way communication. It's a one-way conversation. You know, you just talk to Him, just like some of you, we just go into our prayer room and then we just bring out all our prayer requests, you know, our intercession, and we just lay there at our feet and say, Jesus, I pray, okay, you answer me, okay, in Jesus' name, bye. You know, we make it like a touch and go. We touch and then we go, we touch and then we go. It's like we visit the presence of the Lord just for the sake of praying. But that's not what prayer is. Prayer is talking with Him. When you talk to Him, He listens. And when He speaks to you, you gotta listen. Everybody say, you gotta listen. You gotta listen. When we talk with God, we need to be aware that there is a time to talk, there is a time to vent, there is a time to share our prayer requests with God, but there is also a time to wait upon the Lord, to wait upon His voice, to wait upon His word and His promises and His confirmation. Many a times we just go into the presence of the Lord and we pray in Jesus' name, amen, and we just walk off. You know, we just continue in our life and then we ask ourselves, how come, God, You didn't speak to me? How come, God, You didn't answer my prayer? God is okay, let me get this straight. He is not stopping from you hearing His voice, but many a times we are the ones stopping ourselves from hearing the voice of God. We are stopping, disallowing ourselves from hearing the promises of God over our lives by actually moving ahead of God, by not actually waiting and hearing His voice. God longs to hear your voice. He longs to hear what you have to say. He longs to spend time with you. He longs to be in your presence as much as you would like to be in His presence. Do you know that? That's the God that we serve. He's not some idol that we pray, you know, shout out about Sunday. You know, it's not some idol that we pray, then after that we just walk off expecting God to answer our prayer. No, God is a God that is so intimate and relational that He loves to hear what you have to say and He answers back. He is a God that gives you answers, gives you solution. And many a times our solution is found in the presence of the Lord. Sounds so simple, right? Talking with God. But somehow many believers, many of us, we still do it in a different way. Talking to God. You know, God loves talking to us. The call to prayer. All right? The call to prayer is simply the call to interact and commune with the heart of God. To interact and commune with the heart of God. We may not understand sometimes why God allows challenges or certain things happen in our life. Right? Sometimes we pray and then the breakthrough didn't happen. Sometimes we pray, the healing doesn't happen. Sometimes we pray, the miracle doesn't happen. Right? I believe all of us were or probably still in the same boat, you know? But this is the thing, church. We are not called to question or doubt God. It is never our role to question or doubt God. God, why did You allow this thing to happen? Why that happened in my life? You know, why this fellow got this, I don't have. We are never to be in a position to question or to doubt God. Our position is always to seek Him, to ask Him, to adore Him, and to worship Him. This is why in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8, it says, ask. Everybody say ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Verse 8. For everyone, see, there's no condition. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. It will be. It's unconditional. But the question is, are you asking? Are you going to His presence to seek? Are you knocking at the door of God of heaven and say, God, I need You. I need a breakthrough. Our responsibility is never to question or to doubt God. It is always in the position to trust and surrender. Everybody say trust and surrender. We are always called to trust God and surrender. No matter whether we understand what we are going through or not, that is not the main point. The main point is, Lord, I trust You with all my heart. This is why in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean unto your own understanding in all your ways. All your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. When you trust the Lord, the outcome is He will direct your path. So we are not in the position to doubt and question God. God, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why I didn't get my breakthrough? Rather than asking God the why, come to His presence and say, Lord, I need You. Lord, I seek You. Lord, I'm asking. I'm seeking and I'm knocking. And when you do that, I promise you, the Lord will show up. The Lord will answer you and the Lord will minister to you. Can I hear an amen, please? I really, really believe that because the Lord is not like a man. Man breaks promises. God never breaks promises. God will never fail. Man fail, but God never fails. Well, so when you put your trust in the Lord, let me tell you something. You are putting your trust in such a firm and rock solid foundation that when you say, God, I trust You, you can be sure that the Lord will answer you. The Lord will definitely come true for you. Whether you believe it or not, He will come true for you. But the thing is, many a times we expect Him to come true in the way that we want Him to come true. How many of you are experiencing that? We want God to come true in a certain way, in a very specific way. God, I pray that this will happen. We expect Him to come in this way. But God works in wonders. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So therefore, we cannot expect Him and limit Him and say that, God, you must work in this way. In the plan of God, it's never just A. How many of you like that? If God's plan in your life, you feel it's not working out, let me tell you something. He's A until Z. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning until the end. And therefore, no matter what you feel that is not going right in your life, let me remind you, encourage you. God's plan for you is always a good plan. His plan is from A to Z. So therefore, whether you have you experienced it or not, let me tell you something. Your best is yet to come. Your best is yet to come. Can I hear an amen, please? Church, are you still with me? You sound very quiet today, you know. Help me to preach this morning. When you help me preach, you will receive as well. Amen? Amen? Thank you, church. He longs to commune. He longs to commune and fellowship with us. He longs to engage in our spirit. As our spirit engages with our spirit, something happens. Something powerful takes place. Let's read John chapter 7, verse 38. John chapter 7, verse 38, he says, "He who believes in me," look at the scripture. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." There are three words here that I want you to take note. Flow, rivers, and living. Everybody repeat after me. Flow, rivers, and living. Come on, say that again. Flow, rivers, and living. When you are in the presence of the Lord, can I just tell you something? Only the living God can activate the living water inside of you. Only the living God can activate the living water inside of you. And the scripture says flow. The river flows. It's not stagnant. If you're feeling that you're stuck, if you're feeling you're stagnant, if you feel like you're in a sticky position, can I just let you know something? When you come into the presence of the Lord, when you seek the Lord, when you ask the Lord, when you pray in the Spirit, when your spirit engages with His Spirit, let me tell you something. The water, the living water inside of you will start flowing in the name of Jesus. What was seemed stuck will be unstuck in Jesus' name. What was seem stagnant will no longer be stagnant in Jesus. That is what happens when your spirit engages with His Spirit. Flow. Rivers. Did you realize that the Word of God say rivers, not river? It's rivers. When your spirit engages with His Spirit, it's rivers. It's multiple. Not just one. Not just one pathetic small little stream of river that will flow inside of you. But when you pray in the Spirit, when you engage yourself in the Spirit with the Lord, I tell you, it is not just one pathetic small little stream of river, but gushes, rivers will start flowing out of you. And the Word of God says it's living. It is not some dead river. It is a living river that will flow out of you. Come on, somebody say amen. It's a living water. Let the living God activate the living water inside of you. So how can you do that? Engage in the Spirit. Engage with the Lord in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Raka rama sono, rima rama sene, rama shokotorobosana. When you do that, the river inside of you will start flowing. Will start flowing and will start flowing. What seems to be stuck will be unstuck. What seems to be stagnant will start moving. Whatever that you're going through in your life right now, let me tell you something. If you need God to move, if you need something to be unstuck, let me tell you something. Pray in the Spirit and you will see your breakthrough. You will see your breakthrough. That is His promise. Ask and you will receive. Knock and it will be opened. Seek and you will find. It will be. It is a promise of the Lord for His children. And I love this. You know, the best part of this verse is actually not this verse. It's actually the verse right before it. In John chapter 7, verse 37, where it says, "If anyone thirsts,
let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If you are feeling thirsty, if you're feeling dry, if you're feeling that, I don't know what to do with my life, I don't have clarity, I don't have direction, I feel like I don't hear the voice of God, can I just let you know something? This is what the Word of God says. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. When you drink from the Lord, you will be filled. And this drink is not a drink that will run dry. This drink is a drink that will fill you to your destiny. That is the drinking of the Lord. That is the living water that we are talking about. When you drink from the Lord, it's not you will not just quench the thirst that is in your mouth or in your desires. No, in fact, you will grow even more hungrier and thirstier for more of Him. And it fuels your passion. It fuels you towards your destiny. That is the promise of the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 5 or chapter 6, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. It is a promise. So if you're hungry this morning, if you're thirsting for more of His presence, if you say, Lord, I can't hear your voice, I feel dry, come into the river. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, come into the river. Come into the river. Join with Him in the river. Engage your spirit with Him. And let the river of God flow inside of you. You know, and last week I was, you know, when I was done with this influenza thing, you know, I was really having a hard time to pray and seek the Lord. You know, I was thinking, God, you know my heart, you know my heart. So I was just thinking about my prayer. I was just thinking about praying, but I'm not praying. I'm thinking about my praying. And suddenly I heard the Lord say, son, that's not how you spend time with me. And I was like, oh God, you already know my heart. You know, I have that desire to spend time with you, to love you, to talk to you. But God, what do you mean I'm not spending time with you? Because can I let you know something? Thinking about praying and praying is actually two different things. Thinking about praying is actually not praying. Yeah. Oops, did I drop a revelation there? Thinking about praying is not praying. Praying is praying. Because when you think about prayer, you're actually conversing with yourself. You're not conversing with God. When you pray, you're conversing with God. So can I encourage you this morning? When you pray, don't keep quiet. Don't just pray inside your mind and just thinking that God will answer your prayer just because He's an all-knowing God. That is not praying. Thinking of praying is not praying. When you think about prayer, you're actually conversing. You're talking to yourself. It's you're actually talking to your inner voice. You're actually talking to your inner voice. You're reflecting upon your inner voice. All right? But when you pray out loud, you say, talk to Jesus. That's when you converse with God. That's when the communication happens. As believers of Christ, it is vital for us to actually answer the call to prayer and to grow our prayer life. Can I let you know something, church? Your prayer life will not develop itself unless you intentionally focus on developing it. It will not develop itself. It will not grow itself. It's not like, it's the same principle, you know, church. It's the same principle as this. Many of us think that just because the year goes by, you know, many of us grow older, right? We grow older. Everybody also can say, we grow 1 year wiser, you know, grow older, grow 1 year wiser. You may grow old as the year goes by, but that doesn't mean that you grow up. That doesn't mean that you grow up. You may grow old, but that doesn't mean that you grow up. Similarly, as the year goes by, it doesn't mean that just because the years of you becoming a Christian is more and more and longer, but that doesn't mean that your prayer life is developing. Your prayer life is only developed when you put an intentional focus on developing it, in developing and growing your prayer life. That's when your prayer life grows. When I say, God, I choose to grow my prayer life. I choose to come into your presence. I choose to ask, seek, and knock. That is only when your prayer life will grow. Your prayer life will not grow itself. It's not some tree, you know. It will grow when you put your focus into growing, intentionally developing. Even when Jesus was on this earth, you know, He set an example by rising up early in the morning, way before anyone was awake, you know, to withdraw Himself from His disciples, to spend time with His Father. If Jesus is 100% God, What more us? He's 100% God, 100% man. But what more us that we need to come to that place and be consistent and committed in our prayer life? Church, can I let you know something? Some of us probably we feel, but I want to pray, right? We have this desire. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing, right? I want to pray. I desire to pray. But somehow we feel stuck. We feel like after 10 minutes, right, we just stop. We feel very, like cannot go on like that. But can I let you know something? When you have discipline and commitment, distraction and compromise will cease. When you have discipline and commitment, distraction and compromise will cease. Because the enemy of prayer is actually distraction and compromise. Oh, okay, la, God, you all know my prayer. La. I don't need to pray so long. La. You know my heart. You know, without me saying a word, you already know me. You know, that's actually compromising in prayer. I mean, God does understand what is in your life, what is happening in your life. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to pray. God wants us to pray because He's inviting us into His presence to commune and to communicate with Him. That is why we need to come to the place of prayer. He knows what we want, we are going through. He knows what we need. But still, everybody say still. Still, He wants us. He desires for us to commune and to interact with Him in conversation, in communication with Him. That is why we are called to prayer. And I really believe this, you know. And I really, really believe this. That the two key steps to developing your prayer life is found in discipline and commitment. When you have discipline and commitment, distraction and compromise will cease. When you pray from a place of discipline and commitment, that thought, that perspective, that it is a duty for me to pray, will soon cease as well. And from a duty, it will become a delight. How many of you know that prayer is never meant to be endured? Somehow we have this wrong perspective, or weird perspective, should I say, that prayer is meant to be endured. You know, oh, I need to pray a lot today. God, I need to pray. It's my duty as a believer to just pray today. But let me tell you something. Prayer is never meant to be endured. Prayer has always meant to be enjoyed. Everybody say enjoyed. Come on, everybody say enjoy.
Enjoy.
If it's only a duty, it's only a duty if we see it as a duty. It's only a drag if we see it as a drag. But if we believe that when we come into the presence of the Lord, when we seek His face, when we get into the river, when we engage our spirit with His spirit, something takes place, I'm telling you, you are going into the presence with the Lord with such an expectation that the Lord will speak, the Lord will move, the Lord will minister. That is an expectation of hope. There is an expectation of joy. So it is not a drag. It is never meant to be endured, but it's always meant to be enjoyed. God the Father has never meant for His children to pray out of a place of duty and responsibility. But God has always intended for us to pray from a place of relationship. From relationship. Prayer has always meant to be coming from a place of relationship rather than religiosity and idolatry. Never. When it becomes a duty, we are praying from out of a place, out of a relational place. But when you pray from a relational place, let me tell you something. When you pray from a relational place, whether God answers you or not during your secret prayer life, during your prayer time, let me tell you something. Whether God answers you or not, you will still come out from that place satisfied. Because only Him can satisfy us. It is not what His hands can give. Many of us, we come into the presence of the Lord. We seek the hands of God rather than the face of God. But I really believe that the Lord is bringing us back to come back to the place to seek His face rather than to seek what He can do for us. And that's what seeking His hands means. Seeking for gifts and favors and blessings. That's seeking His hands. But when you seek His face, all things will follow. All things will be added unto you. This is why in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all things. Everybody say all things. All things will be added unto you. everything, whatever that you're going through, whatever that you need, what your breakthrough is needing, what your healing is needing, God, all things will be added unto you. All things will work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. These are the very promises of God. And if Jesus taught His people to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, He said, "Our Father," you know, the Lord's Prayer. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer? Can you wave your hand at me? Let's have some interaction. So don't let me feel that I'm alone on stage here. You, church, very quiet today. I don't know why. Our Father in heaven, right? In this manner, therefore pray, "Our Father in heaven." The Lord Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father," not Almighty God, you know, not Jehovah. You know, there are so many names and identities that we can call out to God. But Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father." Why? It's because relationship is relationship. We are meant to commune with God from a place of relationship. Our Father. This is why in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 as well, He says, "But when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father." See, Father again. "Pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." There's two times the word "Father" is actually placed in this verse. And when there's two times of repetition of the same word, it's an emphasis. Everybody say emphasis. That means the Lord wanted us to know, Jesus wanted us to know, when we pray, we need to come to the place of relationship. Not of religiosity, not of idolatry, and say, "God, I need you." But when you come, say, "Jesus, I'm going through this thing, and I know that you will come true for me, whether I feel it or not, whether I see it or not, whether I know it or not. I know that your plan for me is indeed a good plan, and you will bring me through it. You will see me through it." Praying from a relational place. When you pray from a relational place, what seems to be stuck, What you're feeling that is still stagnant in your life, you know, it does not matter anymore. Because when you come into the presence of the Lord, it's no longer God providing you the solution. It is He is the solution. Do you get what I mean, church? When He becomes the solution, we are no longer looking for what He can give us, no longer what He can provide us, but we are seeking Him for Him. We are not seeking Him for an answer. God is not a business deal, you know, that we can, when we come before the Lord and say, "Okay, God, you 50-50, you know. No, God is not a business deal. You know, it's not some, I get some benefit, you get some benefit. No, He's not a business deal. But He is a relational God. When you speak to Him, when you go to His presence with your need, He will hear you, He will listen to you, and He will come true for you. That is who the Lord is. That is our sweet, sweet Jesus. That is our precious Father. Amen, church?
Yeah, amen.
We are called to pray from a place of relationship and intimacy, not a place of religion and idolatry. Don't complicate prayer. Everybody say, "Don't complicate prayer." Prayer is active partnership with God. When you pray, you're partnering with God in saying that, "God, even though I have not seen my breakthrough yet, but I'm praying and I'm believing together with you that I will see my breakthrough." Active partnership with God. You know, when you pray, He moves. God, prayer moves the hands of God. How many of you have heard of that before? Prayer moves the hands of God. Your prayer does the things that you cannot do, that your voice, that your words cannot go. But prayer does it. Prayer goes to the places that you cannot go. Don't just pray for the sake of praying. We pray to see the manifestation of the power of the Lord moving in us, through us, to us, and for us. Can I hear an amen, please?
Amen.
So if you have a certain situation that you're going through, can I encourage you to take it to the Lord in prayer? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't feel devastated. Don't feel disappointed. You know, many times our circumstances can bring us to the lows, all right, in the lows, in the valleys. But can I remind you once again that He's not just the God of the mountain, but He is also the God of the valley. So when you are in your valley, let me tell you something, He is still with you. He said in His word, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He has never forgotten you. So even when you are in your valley, thinking that God is far away, thinking that God, you know, he's not hearing my voice, you know, he's not hearing my prayer. Let me tell you something. Even in the valley, he hears your voice. He will answer you. And he sees your tears and he will come true for you. That is the Jesus that we are serving. That's why in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, the attitude of gratitude, let your requests be made known to God. If you're going through something that is so unexplainable that you don't know how to describe and you're just feeling so stuck and down, can I just encourage you, church? Let the weightiness of your situation determine the weightiness of your prayer. Let the weightiness of your situation, of what you're going through, determine the weightiness of how you pray, how you come before the Lord and ask and seek and knock. This is why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, pray without ceasing. What does pray without ceasing actually means? Does it mean to pray 24/7 and don't stop? No. If you can, praise you, be my shifu. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, pray without ceasing. What does it mean? Pray until you see a breakthrough. Pray until something changes. Pray until an atmosphere in your life shifted. That is what praying without ceasing means. Pray until you see a breakthrough in your life. So how can we answer the call to prayer? Can the worship team? So how can we answer the call to prayer as a believer of Christ? Number one, if you're writing down notes, I hope this will help you. It might sound so simple, but it's going to really put a structure in getting you back to the place of prayer. Number one, have a prayer list. Have a prayer list. Because prayer list, it might sound so structured and so, you know, stagnant. But let me tell you something. Prayer list actually brings focus. Everybody say focus. It brings focus and direction. So you're not just sitting in the presence of God and just going through all your prayers and whacking everything, whatever that's in your mind. No, it brings focus and direction. When you have specific focus, it brings specific prayers. And when you have specific prayers, it brings specific breakthroughs. Come on, can I hear an amen, please? Specific prayers bring specific breakthroughs. There must be a direction and a focus when you come into the presence of the Lord. And when you pray, you will see the hand of God move in your life. Number two, have a scheduled prayer time. Have a scheduled prayer time. Sounds so simple, right? But many of us, we don't do this. We pray when it's convenient. We pray when we have time. We pray when we feel like it. We pray when we are in the valley. But when you have a scheduled prayer time, you are committing yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, whether I'm in the valley or I'm in a mountain, I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to fall in love with you. I'm going to hear your voice. Even when I'm in the best moments and best time of my life, Jesus, you're still the best thing in my life. And I choose to come before you just like how Mary did. To sit at your feet, to hear from you, to listen as I seek your face. That's what happens when you have a scheduled prayer time. There's so many things in our life that demands our time. Our friends, our work, our career, so many other things. And there are also so many other things that are distracting us as well from coming to the place of prayer. When you have a scheduled prayer time, as simple as it sounds, it will bring a profound impact in the long run. It will really bring a profound impact in the long run. If we don't set a schedule for ourselves, other things will set it for us. Other things will set it for us. So can I encourage you, set a prayer time. Be committed to God and say, Lord, I'm coming to you in prayer. I'm coming to you and I seek your face, God. James chapter 4 verse 8, it says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That is the promise. When you draw near to the Lord, He will draw near to you. Whether you experience it or feel it tangibly or not, that is a promise of God. He will draw near to you. And lastly, number three, when you come before the Lord in prayer, be intentional and focused. Be intentional in your prayer and be focused in your prayer. Sometimes when we pray, our heart is willing, but our flesh is weak. So when we are praying right now, you know, when we come to the presence of the Lord, when we pray, our mind is somewhere else. Just like how I'm speaking to some of you right now, you're already thinking what to eat for lunch, or what to cook for dinner, or where should I go shopping next in the next few hours. You know, sometimes we really want to pray. It's our heart's desire to pray, but our flesh is weak, and therefore our mind will wander off. Do you know your mind got legs? It will just wander off when you try to focus. Try waking up 4 a.m. in the morning, you will understand what I mean. Your mind will just wander off. You know, he has his own legs and just walk away from you. And then you think that you're still praying, but then your mind is somewhere already. Come before the Lord and say, be intentional, be focused. God, no matter what I'm feeling right now, no matter what I'm struggling right now, I'm going to be focused on your presence. I'm going to be focused on your face. And I choose to sit at your feet, to seek your face. Be intentional and focused. Come on, church, why don't you stand to your feet? I'm done with a message today. I pray and I hope that this message somehow will bring an enlightenment to your spirit, to invite you to that place of prayer once again. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, I really believe that the Lord is inviting us to that place of just spending time with Him and loving Him. More than just prayer, it's about communing and interacting with the heart of the Father. And I really believe that the Lord is inviting us back. So in your own place, can you make an altar? In the next 30 seconds, just make an altar in front of you and make a commitment and say, Lord, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to the place of prayer. I'm coming back to seek your face, Jesus. Come on, all across this place. Come on, just talk to God. Just make a commitment to God. Make a fresh commitment to God. Let the zeal of the Lord just come upon you right now. Let that fresh passion just come upon you right now. Let the Holy Spirit mark you with the fire right now in Jesus' name. Mark your people, Lord. Mark your sons. Mark your daughters in this place, God. Let them come back to the place where they spend time with you, Lord. Let them come back to the place of first love, God. Let them come to the place of worship, God, and intercession, God. Let your fire just fall upon your people. Let your fire, the Holy Spirit, just mark them, God. Rikatala baba shikia kya baba sana. Ribaba rana rana baba solo say. The spirit of prayer, the spirit of intercession to fall upon them right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your awesome presence that is here in this place. We are so aware and we acknowledge you, Lord. That Father, even as we continue on, Lord Father, with our lives and with our journey with you, Lord, ignite back the passion, the zeal to come back to the place of prayer once again, Lord. We thank you for your awesome, awesome, tangible presence in this place. In Jesus' name, and everyone say amen.